Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com.
Today on the Zolk'in is called Red Galactic Dragon, and it is the eighth day of the White Wizard Wave Spell. And it is also the planetary moon day 16. And we are in the third week that I always expound upon of the planetary moon week in the West. And I don't think I'm going to do a whole other diatribe on that. You can always refer to the last podcast if you're someone who missed an episode or is just starting. You can usually find out plenty in like the bookends of one episode, the one prior and the one following will touch on aspects and issues that are still relevant. So if you go back one, it's still going to matter right now, this half of the week. And same if you need to learn about right now, the next time I podcast. There's enough redundancy and continuity that you can definitely tune in that way. And I am therefore not going to do like my upteenth treatise on the third week in the West, but it is the third week of the planetary moon. It starts on the 15th, which was yesterday, and it goes until the 21st. And these are not Gregorian dates. It has nothing to do with April. It starts on the 15th day of the planetary moon, and it goes until the 21st day of the planetary moon, and that is essentially Saturday yesterday, which would have been the 17th, and it'll end this third week next Friday. And you know, here's something I'll fill in part of the episode with that we don't talk about hardly ever, but is definitely of interest, and that is that every day of the week, meaning the natural time week, is oriented to a chakra, and it's a chakra spiral. So we start in on the first day of the week, which right now is on a Saturday. We start in our crown chakra, and then the day after, which is today, Sunday, is going to be the root chakra, and then tomorrow will be the third eye on Monday. Tuesday will be the sacral chakra, and then we will have Wednesdays in our throat chakra, Thursdays in our solar plexus, and Fridays in our heart chakra. And you can sort of piece together that was a spiral from crown down to the root, then up to the third eye, then down to the sacrum, then up to the throat, down to the solar plexus, and the heart is our center. And so that you don't see that as like zigzagging, you can picture a spiral itself, so starting at the crown chakra and creating this round half circle or arc to touch the root chakra, and then another kind of completing circle that leads up to the third eye. And so that is a spiral, if you can just feel all the curvature. So things are not linear ever in any aspect of natural time, and they are sort of pleasantly circular and pleasantly rolling and in balance. So from crown to root seems kind of extreme, but it weaves us right into the center, so we get to our central heart chakra It's not like a stop along the line between heaven and earth, even though our chakra column is organized that way. We're always wending our way through balancing opposition to the very center of ourselves, which would be our heart. So happy Root Chakra Day. Sunday's Root Chakra Day. Saturday's Crown Chakra Day. Whee! You can trust everything that you experience on a Saturday as either pure download from the heavens or issues of obscuring that download through the static that you carry karmically at this juncture. Root Chakra Days, you can feel, you know, what matters to your body, what matters to you in terms of your tribe, meaning like your society here on the planet probably, and you can notice, you know, the friction you experience with that. I experience a lot of friction, but I'm pretty good with my body, but not so much my society. So check out things that way. I think that, you know, if you get into these glitches where you're not as turned on by a wave spell or things are laying low and not obvious in terms of heavy teaching or challenge, you can always just, you know, have this muted experience of the tribes and the tones, even the wave spell, but get really interested in the chakras for a while. Let's see. So we are now in the White Wizard wave spell, and we're pretty far along. We're on the 8th day of 13, and it's important to account for this time as a microcosm of surrounding white wizard experiences, such as our white magnetic wizard year that started on July 26th and carries us all the way through till summer again, July 24th, 2020. The rolling wave spell set in the teaching of white magnetic wizard, which also is the initiation year of a 13-year white wizard wave spell. So all of these layers of white wizard, if you ever wanted to know what it was like to be a shaman, you have the opportunity right now. And you can also notice how if you're being accorded any kind of shamanic interests or shamanic insights and healing power, that also sets you outside the culture somewhat, and that's a bit of a burden or a kind of side challenge, so that you might be experiencing a lot of intensity in terms of psychic ability, driven towards actions that are ultimately healing, but look outside the range of what's normal or superficial in the culture. So being drawn into a more mystical life or having impulses that definitely feel alternative or irregular, meaning like, I had a whole full-blown experience like this myself. I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but I'll just say that sometimes when I struggle now trying to make sense of my life and maybe express it to friends, I say something which sounds so pompous at the outset, but really isn't intended to be, which is just like, it's like the quote is sort of something to the effect of, it's the burden of being a shaman. And please, again, I don't walk around going, oh yeah, hi, I'm a shaman. I don't even feel that. I don't feel it as special. I feel that really in an ancient world, there's a sort of a shaman in every tribal situation, or even the faction of a tribe, or numerous shamans in some places. And so it's just sort of like the same thing as saying, you know, I'm an MD, or I'm a contractor. There are just plenty of them. But sometimes I can tell that I have been routed to that, you know, that is an identification that I hold, because something will be stirred in me that is so out of bounds of normal behavior, but ultimately is like it's a healing impulse, and it sort of circumnavigates the normal routes of communication I guess I'm being way too vague, which is not helpful, but is sort of lyrical. Like, yeah, when you are, quote unquote, you know, the shaman in your own lifestyle for a passage, because I don't suppose any of us feel that way all the time, but you kind of run into the energy field and you're like, whoa, I'm acting shaman-y. I have like clear directives from divinity. They take me outside normal behaviors and bounds, and yet I'm impelled to do it. And usually it's because someone else needs our help. And the only way to do that, to take action and perform the service of helping them, is to kind of be weird, you know, beyond the norm, not cloistered and boundary, but, you know, openly pushing into someone's space to try to be of service to them, which is just super awkward because there's so many stigmas about being out of control and, you know, not staying in your lane. And so I think that the White Wizard experience is a lot about dipping into irregular behavior, noticing that it's almost always impelled by the desire to help or heal, and that it's an awkward power for some of us to have, even again, if I'm just portraying that it kind of comes and goes, you know, it surges and then it wanes like a tide, that when it's in our lap, when it's in our being, some of us aren't used to, aren't comfortable with that kind of like raw, outlandish, driven, intuitive power and also impulse. So that's part of the dynamic that may or may not be surfacing in your life in this triple White Wizard moment. The planetary moon is, you know, I'll say about this third week is just, again, it's churning us towards some manifestation that reflects the whole year's purpose coming to its peak. You know, it's complicated in these wave spells when they're played out over the year, when we have 28 days in each tone, because we can touch on so many parts and pieces of each tone in a 28-day stretch. So certainly the planetary moon is about manifestation. It's about perfecting and producing. These are words Jose Arguelles gave: to perfect and produce and to manifest, have a manifestation. But it's also the peak of the wave, which I talked about last podcast. It's also the limitation of rising, which I always talk about. So we have all of these days, 28 days, to feel into each part. So you might be in a section of your personal planetary moon where it is a lot about perfecting. If the finishing product, finishing the product, is sort of like, you know, honing it, readying it for display, tweaking it, making it exactly as you would wish or you would want others to experience it. So perfectionism and the act of perfecting something might be overtake us, you know, almost the compulsive part of perfectionism. We might be super productive right now, just getting a lot done. It is the quality of, you know, sort of finishing the enterprise. And we may be experiencing manifestation, which reminds me of how I always describe when we're moving through the 13-day wave spells, the solar tone is like asking of God, and the planetary tone is receiving. And there's no correlation that's exact. Like, it would be a faulty, unholy experience if you're like, I would like this, and then you get it. There has to be, I mean, that happens. I'm just not trying to like say that that's bad, actually, but it's not a default. It's not like a Christmas list that your parents, you know, attend to carefully. It's much more like the Christmas list I made as a kid that, you know, nobody ever read and were ridiculous to. And then I would get whatever it was my mom or dad wanted to get me. And, you know, I'm throwing some shade at my mom, who always got me something I never asked for, but she thought would be great. And then my dad actually fulfilled quite a few of my lists. And so when we come to our relationship to divinity in this time, the solar and planetary moons, We made a request from our heart. They were informed by the eight moons behind us. They were not whimsical. They were not chaotic requests. They were driven and derived from all of the growth we've done and the surrender we've made to the wave spell as it has rolled us to this peak moment. And then what we receive in manifestation, which is the actualization of all our wishes and intentions, is kind of more like my mom's way of dealing with Christmas, which is God's idea of like, well, this is what I really want you to have. Like, I believe that the solar and planetary tones are a dialogue, but I believe that if it was just a logical and super, if the response from divinity were exactly what we were asking, none of us would grow. None of us would learn the subtle language of divinity. None of us would understand how to surrender. Like, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. We wouldn't learn this larger perception of how to view reward and how to view receiving from the source. So you get to sort of ascertain, like, for me, I'm still hanging on to a lot of what I was wishing for last moon. Like, it was pretty stark. It was, nothing too outlandish, but it was very specific. And now I am paying attention. I'm sort of wrapped in the manifestation moon to see, well, what the heck is it going to be? If I ask really specifically from my heart for something in my life to be changed or to be fulfilled, and I'm going to be looking to see what is the clue that I was heard by my sun god and given something as a manifestation. And simultaneously, I'm looking at the things that are manifesting regardless of what I asked for. It's the moon of manifestation. We could take like the stimulus checks as a picture of like, that is a manifestation moon item. It's very earthly. It is a form of abundance. It kind of comes from nowhere, even though a lot of us have lost a lot, and it may not even account for, a small fraction of what we've lost in terms of economic security. But it's just a kind of an interesting dynamic that everyone's getting money from the government. And yet, I don't think the moon of manifestation, the planetary tone, is always about, physical or financial reward. It's just that people who are planetary or born in the planetary tone, they are good at manifesting. And one of the really easy definitions of manifesting as a human on Earth is having property, having possessions, having job status that allows you to have consistency of income. And I think planetary people, and this is great because I'll probably lose a listener or two, are like comparatively staid and boring because of that, because they don't have the same kind of risk, associated risk that they might, drop out of having abundance or ability to manifest on a physical plane and job security and financial security. I mean, that is a very stabilizing influence, and planetary people can be kind of like, so secure that they can't necessarily empathize with the risks that are associated with some of the other birth tones. And yet, we all get to experience this kind of planetary security and rootedness and a bit of achievement and amassing right now. We get to have that. And then it'll be removed in the spectral. Not removed like we never see our money again, but it'll be not a pile. It won't be the static quality of, look at everything I have. Instead, it will be, I'm sort of grasping at what I have and watching it like spill over in the breaking wave of the spectral tone. And yet we're all going to land at the bottom of this grand fall or flight that is the spectral tone. And when we get to the bottom, we'll find the things that we need, what we need to have will still be with us. So it's just a process. When we move through these days, the like solar planetary spectral day, it's a little easier to feel it as fluidity, and then it kind of stops and stretches itself way out when we're in the year. Now I'm just actually going to try to riff, and I'm sort of speaking fast because I'm sure I've dragged out a few of my points, which is very White Wizard, and that's what I want to speak to. So White Wizard, the shaman, White Wizard, the just like that, the healer that holds the sanctuary for others. And then White Wizard who has no sense of time. White Wizard that takes a long time. White Wizard that is not on time. White Wizard that is exceptional at experiencing the now moment as super broad. It could be centuries. You know, people who are White Wizards and each of us in a central White Wizard moment are really like wide aperture. Super able to, you know, not get into the minutiae of this moment, but to have a loose mind that can fathom the grandeur of time. There's like this one thing about quarantine, whatever aspect of that you're still in, where it has slowed time down, which is so awesome because time, per the internet and per our busy schedules, overschedules. Most of the culture on the planet is overscheduled. I'm not sure how that happened or why. The acceleration of how we move through our days with plans and achievements, goals. It's really nice to have most of that taken away and be back in the 1970s after school mode. That's how I relate to it, where you're just like, you just have an open window and some choice about how to fill it, and then there's a lot of whiling away the hours. You know, that's the pleasure of my upbringing, is some kind of boredom, but then creativity to fill out the time, but just a lot of whiling away the time. And I love that feeling, and I think it's really White Wizard, and I hope it lasts past this wave spell, that we're all going to be set free pretty soon. And like another example is that, you know, I do get confused about what day it is sometimes, but I also got super confused. Like I sold my masks at a farmer's market, and I could not, without a lot of thought and sort of research of remembrance, figure out if it was a week ago yesterday or if it had been 2 weeks, because finally the time since I sat at the farmer's market selling face masks and now feels so long, and it was only a week. I mean, that is just the rarest feeling in this internet age, in this light speed age, to be like, wait, something that was a week ago felt like 2 weeks ago. The inverse is so much more often true, where something that was 2 weeks ago feels like it was a week ago, and the weeks just race by. So I love this pace. I wish that it was achievable. I would say, when we're talking about the manifestation that isn't necessarily personal to each of us, but how we are manifesting the white magnetic wizard experience of this larger year in the moon of manifestation, what I just described is epicentric, that we are manifesting a timeless experience, being lost in something illogical, feeling psychic ability and drawn towards, you know, absent voices, you know, just having all of that called to us. It's just really natural that we would be experiencing that at a peak density and a peak intensity right now. Now let's look at the days to come. Like today is Red Galactic Dragon, and it is hard to remember that there was a Red Dragon wave spell before this, but there was. It was really kind of in the heart of the first stage of, at least where I live, being in quarantine. We were birthing. It was April 12th that, no, that's not true. I'm actually not going to be able to tell you exactly when it was by heart, but it was the front end of April that we jumped into. Oh, I know when it was. It was March 30th. was when we began the new Zolk'in and the Red Dragon Wave Spell. It was 20 days ago. And so now we are remembering the Red Dragon Wave Spell right here in the middle of the White Wizard one. Just as yesterday, the portal day, Saturday, was Yellow Resonant Sun, and it was the precursor to the Yellow Sun Wave Spell, which will arrive 20 days from yesterday or 19 days from today. So here we are, always in that nexus of resonant to galactic days in a wave spell, one being a capitulation forward and the other a capitulation backward. One is a premonition and one is kind of a final integration. So we are kind of putting to rest our Red Dragon experience of birthing. Remember all that talk I delivered on the matriarchal presence of the divine realm. I always wish I could talk about God without sounding like I really need you to think about a Christian God or saying the word divinity over and over, which is my way of avoiding using the word God. And then I just feel like I need another word. I could say Hunabku, which is the Mayan one God, the Almighty is Hunabku. So then we have tomorrow, taking us to Monday, the beginning of our work week, when we start commuting to work, just that old sense of Monday, starting things off. We will be in a solar tone, and we can remember everything about the solar moon as we once again find ourselves sort of lit on fire, mentally active, and having intention all day. You know, aspiring to something here in this White Wizard Wave Spell. It's going to be White Solar Wind, which is a portal day, and is, again, it's like fiery communication with spirit. The fire part is just speed and intensity. It's not like it's dangerous, hot, or destructive. It's like the sun itself. It's a power source, and we are imbued with that power on solar days. And then we communicate to, as you have heard so often, God in the language of the sun, solar. And then again on Tuesday, we will have Blue Planetary Night, which is a planetary day and a planetary moon, magic turtle day, and the manifestation of the White Wizard Wave Spell, because that's how it works. We're in the White Wizard Wave Spell, and the day of manifestation, the planetary day, is settled in the tribe of Blue Night, Blue Planetary Night, which means that the point of manifestation, the greatest achievement of the shaman, the White Wizard, is the ability to dream and live in intuition, live so strongly in the dream life that it carries through the daytime, which is what I mean about feeling impelled these days by intuitive insight, and all of us staying home in our little shaman sanctuary that we create for ourselves and our families and our pets, all of us in this home, situated at home, are, you know, really apt to have vague boundaries between the dream time and the daytime, because we're not making a big stark exit out into the world. I mean, many of us go out in the world. I exercise my dogs every day, twice a day. But, we don't have to kind of leave the dreamy space that is sort of reserved for falling asleep, sleeping through the night, and waking. Like, a certain part of it doesn't get shut down when we don't leave the house. And plus, it's just such a wild way to live that it is in itself really dreamlike. And then I'll be back. I'll be back to talk about the spectral day and slightly anticipate the spectral moon, which is getting closer and closer to arriving. I think the other two things I would say are more in the space of advertising. I really like making Instagram stories, and I've been on Instagram since the beginning, pretty much before Facebook owned it, when it was only photos, when I just used it as a place to make art. It is still that to me. It's the only social media I'm active on in terms of centrally delivering my message and promoting what I do. And I still have like minuscule following, and I don't mind. And it's not to guilt anyone, and it's not to seduce anyone, but I just want to make it clear that every day I put up on Instagram on my story section the day's Mayan assignation through the Dzogchen, with it's just some indicators about it, you know, the mood, the expression, the art expression, the music that's always associated with someone who's having their Mayan birthday. And I just love it. So I am just sharing my love and exposing you to that. And I'm suggesting that if you use Instagram in a sort of the way that people are good at social media do, then you can share it and more people will find out about the days. And the other thing is that I just want to remind everyone that I do readings and they're pretty reasonable, and I'm available to do it internationally. I'm hard to pin down because I'm a disorganized white wizardy person, but I am really enjoying the readings I'm doing because there's probably no better time to be a reader than in the white wizard triple crown moment that we're passing through. And I wish everyone health and restoration and peace and attunement to natural time. And I'm Lisa Starr, I am another yourself, and I am Lise in Lakesh.